Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon, family. This is Evangelist Carolyn Wright from Recovery 14, hashtag I Will Live Again. I'd like to thank each and every one that has come out to listen to or took their time out to listen to hashtag I Will Live Again. Recovery 14. We have a very special guest today, and it's a pleasure for me to present him to you. His name is Apostle Sandro Bogus, and he's been in the ministry for many years now, and he is living now presiding in Newcastle, Delaware. He is a pastor and a teacher for 3 years, and God has called him to the apostleship under Apostle Ernestino DeFont and Sandro as a co-laborer in the House of Inc. in 2015. He has a rhema word in his belly that would like to speak to the man and woman of God that is listening. We operate in the supernatural powers of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that your ears are attentive to what this man has to say. But before we go to him, we're going to say a prayer. Holy Spirit, you have your way. Have your way on this line today. Lord, I ask you that you will meet the needs of your people today, God. You know what they need. You know their heart's desire. You know their pain. You know their suffering. You know, God, we ask you, God, that you are the author and the finisher of their faith. And Father God, I ask you that your will be done on this line today in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. So I would like to say good afternoon, Apostle.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for coming on, and we'd like to thank you for just being our guest today here on Recovery 14, hashtag We Will Live Again. I will not prolay the time, so what I'm going to do, Apostle, because I know that God has great, great, great word in your belly and for you to speak to the people of God. So at this time, Apostle, I ask you that you let the Lord use you and have your way, and just be obedient to the Spirit of the living God. And into your hands, mighty man of God, do I present Recovery 14, hashtag I Will Live Again. God bless you, sir.
Amen. Thank you very much, sister. God bless you all in Jesus' name. I just wanted to go and share a word that the Lord put on my heart, and it's about the healing of our souls. Because in these last days, there's a lot of soul wounds, soul damage that was given upon us, whether it was because of someone sinning against or we sinning against them. And so when we're in sin, whether it's us practicing it or someone else practicing it, it brings lots of wounds to our soul. And today in this radio show, I'm going to be speaking a whole lot about the body, the mind, as well as the parts of the soul that need healing, that need the dunamis power of Jesus Christ by the blood and by the power of the resurrection, because these are the main keys that's going to help us in order to help bring some healing into our souls. To see, we human beings, we're made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. The soul is divided in three parts. That's our mind, our will, and our emotions. You see, a lot of people get this confused. When we're born again, our spirit man, our spirit woman, that's perfected instantly in Jesus Christ. But concerning our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, it doesn't mean that as soon as we get baptized by the Holy Spirit, our soul is going to be instantly perfected in Jesus Christ, because we have to go through the process of healing as well as the process of holiness and sanctification.
Amen.
To see, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, but there has to be a work to continue to be done. That's why the scriptures reveals to ourselves how the Lord will bring us glory to glory.
Yes.
You know, and this process, sister, and those who are listening, it can be painful.
Yes, it can.
We have to go in and face these things, especially things from the past, because, see, we got to confront the sin. We got to confront the trauma that has happened. sin and trauma are the two main ways our soul gets wounded.
Yes.
You know, we can sin against ourselves with drugs, alcohol, sex, you know, smoking, adultery, stuff like that, gossiping, whatever, you know. But, too, there are other things, too, that wounded our soul. And that's when, like, people sin against us. Like, you know, when people get molested, raped, cheated on, betrayals, you know, violence done upon them, whether it's domestic, verbally or mentally abuse. But also, too, you know, painful events in our life.
Yes.
Like the loss of a job, a home, a divorce, a death in the family. And so these are ways our soul can get wounded.
Yeah.
And it's not a joke, you know, it's not fun to go through the process. But the Lord calls us when we are his sons and daughters to be more than conquerors.
Yes.
And he wants to conquer all that's broken in us. Because he allows us to do an exchange. And what I like about this, our Lord, he doesn't ask for, like, the most beautiful things and stuff. You know, he doesn't ask for the gold and silver. All he asks is for your broken, contrite heart.
Yes.
And he'll replace your brokenness with something that's perfected, that's whole. But, see, we have to be willing to lay it down on his feet on the altar. And
Amen.
That could be a hard process. That can. But it's doable. But before I begin, I just want to point this scripture out. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the sake of today, because I know we got babies in Christ as well as mature, I'm just going to use the New Living Translation. It says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the stronghold of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. And also in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah.
So I read that for the New King James Version. See, a lot of times when we're hurt, when we're broken, and we assume that we're fighting other human beings, because that person who hurt you was a vessel by the enemy to try to break you, to try to destroy you, to try to, you know, manipulate you, things of that sort. But see, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to come through the blood of Christ, right? Because we know through the blood, there's atonement.
Yeah.
And we can see in Matthew 8, verse 17, and it says that so. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and
yeah.
carried away our diseases. If we see that word infirmities in the Greek, it does not mean that it's just a physical infirmity, like, you know, oh, you got cancer, God can heal that. No, it's also a mental infirmity.
Yes.
So our mental strongholds, our mental diseases, that can be also carried away through Jesus Christ. So we need what we call the power in the English, but in the Greek it's called dunamis. And dunamis means a supernatural power. That's the highest power, the most strongest power. And we need the dunamis of Jesus Christ, power in the blood,
yes.
in order for this strongholds to start becoming shattered, these chains to start being broken. But also, a lot of Christians, and I'm not trying to be mean to my brethren, but see, they only have access to one part of Jesus Christ. They love speaking about the blood, which is great. It is. See, they forget about the dunamis power of the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
We don't have to live defeated no more. Because see, Jesus rose from the dead. So they got the first step, which is just the blood of Jesus Christ, which is mighty in itself. But see, now we have to resurrect into new life into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We as believers, we have access to that. We have access to what was done through Jesus Christ. So those dreams that were defeated, that were broken, that were long forgotten, that can be resurrected.
Amen.
That love you used to have in your heart, that peace, that joy that you had in your heart before, you know, life came and threw bricks and stones at you, to try to make you fall, crumble, break down, you know, try to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
See, we can resurrect the peace. We can resurrect the joy, the happiness that we once had in Jesus Christ. Because Christ didn't just come to die for our sins. He came to give us a life to live in abundance as well.
Yes.
To see a son and daughter, they have access. They have access to what Christ has already done. And guess what? He can give all that he is. To see Jesus Christ, he is not just our Savior, but he is love manifested in flesh.
Yes,
he is righteousness manifested in flesh. He
yes.
is peace, joy. He's all that manifested in flesh.
Yes.
And so when we see Jesus Christ, we have to see him for what he really is. People just know him as just, you know, the person of Jesus Christ. But no, he literally is the living Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And see, he wants us to be an excellence of soul.
Yes.
And what I mean by that, he wants our soul to be whole, to be complete. He wants our mind, our will, and emotions to be in soundness. Because we know that according to the word that the Lord calls us to have a sound mind.
Yes.
But see, it's up to us to go out there and reach for it.
Yes.
I want to read Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And I'm going to read from the American Standard Bible. And it says, "You know what Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him."
Amen.
There's many of you listening today who are oppressed. There's a lot of Christians who are oppressed. Now, when you're spirit-filled, you can't be demon-possessed. When you already got the Holy Spirit, but you can be oppressed.
Amen.
And there's a lot of Christians who are very tied down, very broken. They don't even have the strength at times just to wake up in the bed to go on with life because of the spirits of anxiety, of worry, you know? Because, see, demons, they never roll by themselves. They always come as teams. So, you know, people like to use the word, "Oh, I cast out the spirit of depression." No, that's not the spirit of depression. It's a lot of demons that help cause depression.
Yeah,
you know,
yes,
you got the spirit of desire, the spirit of worry, the spirit of anger, the spirit of sadness, things of that sort.
Yes.
See, they never roll and never wage war by themselves.
Exactly.
Because they need to go, because this is what it is. It's warfare. And these are tactics that the enemy uses in order to go break you down, as well as break your marriage down, break your family life with your children down, as well as break down what's going on in your ministry too.
Amen.
So if we're not mindful of the enemy's tactics, we can't get easily brought down and held and in bondage. But too, we have to look beyond ourselves, because sometimes when we're so hurt and broken that what is in us starts to pour out. And
Amen.
So when we're broken inside our hearts, out from our hearts, man, we can speak some bitter, hateful things. And then guess what? That pours on to your spouse. That pours on into your kids. And when that household is broken and messed up, is being oppressed by the enemy, whatever is going on in that home, it gets poured out into the congregation. It gets poured out into the community. And then when the community is affected, it gets poured out through the rest of the city and then through the rest of the state and nation. So see, when we're broken, we just can't think about, you know, it's about me. We have to go beyond ourselves and be like, "Lord, I need your healing power now. I need the power of the blood of Christ. I need the power of the resurrection of Christ."
Amen.
"For I can heal, because this is not just affecting me. This is affecting my family, my spouse, the people I love, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ," especially if you're in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of, you know, of the ministers, pastors, prophets, evangelists, etc. They have to step down for a season, and there's nothing wrong stepping down for a month or two, to get your household in order, to get your marriage in order. because that spirit will pour out to the rest of the flock. So it always starts with the head and drizzles down.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we have to go and be like, look, Lord, this is not about me. This is about your kingdom. This is about your souls. So you have to do this work in me, Lord, and I'm willing. But when there's people who are not willing, and when we're not willing to let it go, we're holding on to the pain, the bitterness.
Yeah.
And so our soul will not prosper. Because God, he wants us to prosper and be in good health, not just physical health. No, he wants us to be good in mental health as well, in spiritual health.
Yeah.
We can find that in John, I believe it's John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Excuse me, no, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. You see, for our soul to prosper, this has to be a continual thing.
Yes.
To live with the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, it's an action. It's not just a, you know, one Sunday for 2 hours.
Amen.
Were you going to say something?
No, go ahead. I was just agreeing with you, sir.
Oh, amen, amen. But, you know, it takes more than just, you know, showing up for 2 hours of the week and living a holy life for those 2 hours. You know, a lot of people, they seek the presence of God, which is a great thing. Amen. But see, God wants to abide within us.
Amen.
And if we want to be used by God, we have to give all our heart to God. But we're human, my sister. We're human.
Amen.
And sometimes we do not want to give all our heart to the Lord. Just like sometimes we don't even want to give all our heart to our spouse, to our children. We just want to give bits and pieces. But see, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, he gave us all that he is.
Yeah.
He loved us so much that he didn't give us pieces of his heart. No, he gave it all. And so we have to go and practice that example, too, to give our all, heart to the Lord, for he can do a work.
Yes.
He loves those who are broken and contrite spirit. That's the only sacrifice he asked for us. But he didn't ask for pieces. He wants the whole heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so we delay it, sister. We delay this healing process all because we want to hold on to, well, you know, my husband said this to me and it hurts, so I'm not going to talk to him for like 2 weeks, you know. Or my spouse did this, he overspent the money, and now I'm really upset, and now there's friction in the home.
That passes on
to the children. I apologize.
Apostle, I call that the spirit of controlling. Because, you know, when you have the spirit of the controlling, it's like you want to be in control of just that tiny, tiny part of your life. And then God, like you're saying, is calling for that whole heart, the whole deliverance, because there's no such thing as a half a deliverance. I'm going to get a little transparent here. It's just like a woman that's pregnant and half of the baby's in her belly and half of the baby is between her legs. And let's keep it real. So she's either giving birth or she's pregnant. So that's something like out of control. It's abnormal. So God, like you're seeing, is operating in spirit and truth with one another also. And you said the whole heart, it's a lifestyle. When we come to Christ, it's a lifestyle. It's not just a 5-minute entertainment or 2-hour entertainment. It's a lifestyle of living a holy and righteous life. Back into your hands, man of God.
Amen, amen. And I have a sister in Christ. She always says this, you know, either you're pregnant or you're not. There's no, I'm a little bit pregnant, you know?
Amen.
And, you know, that's true words there, because the Lord, you know, this is one of his commandments. And I know they don't like teaching this too much in many, many of the pulpits around America. But the thing is, we have to serve the Lord with all our mind, heart, soul, strength, with all that we are.
Exactly.
Not just some of it, because the ministry, a lot of people don't even know what the word ministry is, but it means to serve.
Amen.
And when you're, like, especially, I'm not speaking to the husbands out here, you're supposed to be the head of the house, the head of your wife. So if you're not going to honor your wife, you're not going to love her, you're not going to treat her with respect, guess what? You're actually harming yourself, because when you come into marriage, you're not only becoming one flesh, but you're becoming one soul.
Amen.
And so what you do upon her is going to affect you. And what she's doing to you for the wives as well, because sometimes, let's be honest, some wives are got that Jezebel spirit.
That's
and
it.
They want to control their man. You know,
amen.
So they want to correct them with everything, but they don't want to receive correction when they're living in sin, you know?
Amen.
And so they don't realize they're taking it.
Go ahead, man. Oh, man of God, I mean to interrupt you, but can I just ask a question then? If we have somebody in the audience listening to what you're talking about, the strongholds and everything, so how would you handle, or can you back that up with some scripture? How can a person break the stronghold that are hurting their spiritual life?
That's hurting their spiritual life. Give me one second. Let me pull up a scripture concerning the blood.
Amen.
First, we need to understand the blood. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22.
Okay.
In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And we can find that in the Old Testament, right, that, like, everything that was used needed to be sprinkled with the blood.
Amen.
But now we know that Jesus, we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. So, see, a lot of sins, they have a spirit that's attached to that. You see? So you can find that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, that scripture I just read about redemption through his blood. So, see, we need to plead the blood. The blood acts like, you know, I'm going to speak in a worldly term where we can, you know, because I know there's baby Christians too.
Go
if
ahead.
If you're in bondage, if you're in slavery, this blood can literally burn off the chains, acts like an acid, and it can free you from the yokes and the chains of the enemy. So if we don't know how to apply the blood, because we're quick to pray to God, that, God, I need help for this, I need help for that, but how many times do we actually call out on the blood of Jesus?
Come on now.
Lord God, I plead the blood of Jesus on my relationships. I plead the blood of Jesus on my finances, the blood of Jesus on my children, the spirit of anger that I'm having. Lord, I plead it. See, we have access, but many Christians do not know, because most of them don't read the Bible, to be honest. They just listen to whatever the pastor's preaching and take it as is. But they have access to this, but it's up to us to be willing to grab it and use it.
Okay.
So I hope that cleared up a little bit. But
yeah,
now,
it cleared it up. Go ahead.
And now for the second part, too. See, if we died in Christ, that means we're reborn, right? We resurrected with him. So we know that now we're seated in heavenly places. So now that means I have delegated authority. You and I, if you were truly, you know, whoever's listening, if you were a born-again believer, baptized by the Holy Spirit, you have power and authority now because you're sat in heavenly places. If your congressman is in Pennsylvania, he has power and authority of concerning what's going on in Pennsylvania. Now, if he's traveling over to California and something is going down in Pennsylvania, he can just make one phone call for us. That's spiritually speaking, that's prayer.
Amen.
And even though he's in the other state, he can make things happen in his region, regardless of him not being seated on his chairman's seat right there to make decisions.
Good.
That's
good
power
right
and authority.
Was
that helpful for the listener?
Yeah, that's good right there. Go ahead. Let God use you.
Oh, yeah, because, I can preach on just power and authority alone. But
okay,
see, we have access, and it's up to you and I to use it. It really is.
Amen.
But see, if we don't know about it, how are we going to use it?
Amen.
But two, there are some of us, though, we feel unworthy to use it when we got the knowledge. Father God, you know, I feel unworthy. You know, I was looking at another woman, and I'm married. You know, I was thinking lustful things. Oh, I fell into pornography a couple days ago. Or I got real smart with my husband the other day, and I snapped on my kids and, you know, broke some things in the house out of anger. Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Well, guess what? If you're speaking to your mind, your will, and your emotions, you're already speaking a curse. And that's a form of witchcraft. A lot of people don't realize that.
Come on now.
You're speaking a curse. upon your circumstances. So now the enemy has you right where he wants you. You're going to bondage now because you feel guilty now. Mm-hmm. But see, the enemy is accuser of the brethren.
Yes, he is.
So he will not just use people around you to accuse you of your shortcomings. He will use even you. He's a master manipulator. We can see that in the garden when he spoke to Eve.
Come on now.
He wants you in a stuck, broken place. Because if you're staying in that stuck, broken place, guess what? You will not be able to leave from that unless you call from the help from the Most High in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But you cannot let the past sins hold you down. Because, see, that's what wounds our soul, which is our mind, our will, and emotions. Some of us are mentally unstable.
One day,
we're all happy, showing love to your spouse, and then the next day, you're like pushing them away, get away from me, and snapping on them. Because we're mentally wounded. Our soul is broken and in bondage. But we got to be, and what I mean by bondage, sometimes we're in bondage by the guilt of the sin that we did, or the sin of other people.
Come on now.
So if we're not going to forgive other people for their sins, how is God going to forgive us?
Amen.
And then we're wondering why we don't got peace. We're wondering why we don't got joy.
Amen.
All because we want to hold on to this. We got this temporary. This pain is temporary.
Yeah.
That we're going through the suffering, these trials. But it's up to us to go and have access because, hey, if you're seated in heavenly places, guess what? I and those listening, we have access to the throne for God to open up the heavens, pour down his grace, his mercy, his peace, his strength, and also that endurance to go through that season, to go to the other side of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
We have access, but we have to ask.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We have not because we ask not, right?
Amen. Isn't that the truth?
That's it right there.
And if we don't ask, guess what? We're just going to be powerless and broken.
Amen.
But the Lord calls us to be more than conquerors.
Hey, that's the word.
We have to go and fight for our families, our marriages, our ministry, and also, too, for the peace of our mind. We have to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Yes.
Just as we're used to having people bombard us, oh, you're no good, oh, you're ugly, you're fat, you're skinny, you know, you're not smart or whatever like that. Guess what? They're speaking words. You need to speak the opposite words. So what if people look at you crazy because you're out praying out loud and stuff like that?
Exactly.
If you live in a household where everyone is just straight up negative, guess what? You need to go and speak to the atmosphere regardless of how they look at you or they say. Speak the opposite of those things because guess what? Nobody's preaching you to you about life. So you need to preach to yourself. Even David did it. He said, oh, my soul, why am I so contrite and down?
Amen.
So we have to go and let the Lord Jesus be Jesus.
Amen.
He is life. Let's speak the words of life from my mouth because we have access. We have access, but, you know, like I said, we tend not to use it at times, sadly.
Amen.
Are there any more questions, my sister?
No, hon. A very good lesson here. I really appreciate the time that you took out. You just digest the food that you gave us spiritually. So if you would like to pray us out, and I really want to say thank you to each and everyone who took their time to listen to Recovery 14, Turning Leaf Ministry, and Apostle Sandro Mogis, I really thank you so much, and may God pour back into you what you have poured back into the people. I count it a blessing and an honor for you to come on to my show today. May God bless you. And if you be so kind to pray us out, I appreciate that. Thank you. God bless you, family.
Amen. Guys, I ask that you close your eyes, but if you're driving, don't close your eyes. Just, you know, pray along with me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. This prayer that I'm going to pray, it's to add power over what you're praying for. And it's, Lord, I decree excellence in my soul. I decree every wound in my soul to be healed right now by the power of the blood, by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I decree the resurrection power of Jesus to strengthen and reinforce my soul. soul right now, Lord. My marriage, Lord. My ministry, Father. My finances, Father. And the relationship with my family members, Father. So in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll see everyone next week. May God bless you and keep you covered. Amen.